Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Filling up this morning, $3.26 price to beat for a gallon of gas. More on your money at WTAM.com, keyword money. Scooter East, producer extraordinaire, Baker Hater. Alongside a couple things trending and coming up, including you booked Mr. Jingling this morning, right?
Yes, Mr. Jingling will be joining us
at
7:20.
Victory Monday, and we got Mr. Jingling.
Yes, Mr. Jingling, you know, maybe he'll put Baker in better mood. Maybe he'll, you know, it's Christmas time.
Baker needs a call from Mr. Jingling.
Yes, he does. Mr. Make him feel
he's the keeper of the keys. Maybe he can find the key to that office.
You ain't kidding, Mike. Well said.
Keep everybody happy. Yeah. So 7:20, Mr. Jingling.
Mr. Jingling,
all right,
yes.
So we'll talk about that some coming up in Baker yesterday, too. Traffic and weather together on the 10s first, then we'll get to some trending stuff. Pat Butler back in a little vacay. Morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you. Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 5:20. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
Hey, Pat, blustery day. Cleveland 3 News weather from meteorologist Holly Strano. Mix of sun and clouds will be in the 30s. Tonight, chance of snow in the 20s. Tuesday, partly sunny skies, upper 30s to near 40 for a high. 34 this morning at your severe weather station.
Want and need to know to start the day. Wills and Snyder, Cleveland's Morning News on Cleveland's News Radio, WTAM 1100.
The sound of the tragedy, this SUV plowed through this bunch of people watching this Christmas parade, Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Oh.
Right, it's a suburb of Milwaukee, basically, and this is a big annual tradition. They've got the SUV. They've got what they're calling a person of interest.
Yes.
And still the interviews have been continuing overnight, but the reports are at least 5 dead.
Absolutely 40 horrible. Injured. Horrible. And then the one photo that you see, there's this little girl where that SUV's coming. I mean, he is so close to her. And you know, he swerves away from her.
Sad.
But, I mean, she right there could have been, you know, she could have died. I mean, that's all. It's sad.
Picture, video, more, latest at Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Scooter East, producer extraordinaire, alongside a couple other things. Tiger Woods posting a video, amazing, that he was almost killed in that crash, what, about a year ago, right?
Yeah, and you're showing him hitting some
golf balls. Swing looks pretty good.
Yeah, swing looks good. He's got that compression sock on, if you could see, with the blood flow in his, you know, help with the blood flow in his leg. But his swing, his leg, his movements.
It looks good to you?
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah, like David Faraday?
Yeah.
Picking apart Tiger's swing?
Tiger's going to be ready for the Masters.
That was the same shot, right? It wasn't like him hitting a number of.
It was just, was a one shot. It's a one shot they got of him.
There's that father and son, PNC father and son thing they play. Is it this weekend or next weekend around Orlando? And he and his son, Charlie, have played in that. So there's now they're wondering if he and Charlie may show up for that thing, too.
Oh, that'd be great if he shows up there. Hey, you never know. Masters.
Well, let's hope he can make it all the way back. I think Justin Thomas said that unless he really feels he could win, he's not going to play.
Not going to play.
Right.
But if he feels he can win, play. All right, that's up there for you, right? Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com.
Yes, and the Browns hold off the Lions 13-10.
Wow.
Yes.
And you're just happy.
They covered. I told you they were going to cover on Friday. I told you.
That the Lions would cover.
Thank you. 11.5.
That's all you care about.
Oh, that's 8. Bet, you bet from the pocket, not from the heart.
Very sad. Very sad. All right, Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Thank you, Scoop. Coming up in 5, Rory O'Neill, the Aubrey trial. Looks like they've got closing arguments scheduled for today. Rory O'Neill will join us on that. Let's get to sports. A lot up this morning. A lot of takeaways on this. It just, I don't know. Yeah, they did win, right?
We got to take it. Yeah, I keep telling myself.
A win's a win.
Bill, they are 6-5.
Sports, now, Mike Snyder.
But boy, how do you feel going into the showdowns with Baltimore after what we've seen? Really, not just yesterday either. They've gone 6 of the last 8 games. The Browns have scored 17 or fewer points, and that is tough to win in the NFL that way. It was tough to win yesterday, but Nick Chubb saved the day, running for 130 yards and a touchdown, 13-10 the final. He also ran out the clock at the end on being back after dealing with COVID, he said.
Yeah, it was great. I felt great. It was great to get back out there with the team and get things rolling again.
The offense has been ill. It sure looked that way. Coach Stefanski?
Yeah, we have to score more points, obviously. We have to find ways to be explosive in the run and the pass. We have to stay on the field on third down to give ourselves another set of downs. And then we got to score when we get in the red zone. But I think it's a combination of things, Jake. But we absolutely have to score more points.
And the quarterback says, yeah, we didn't hear from Baker last night. And that's something after a win that really is part of the story there from what you take away from yesterday and what is going on. We wondered why he was even out there, watching him hobble around. 15 of 29, some horrible throws. He did have a touchdown throw and actually made a couple of runs, and they won the game. That is the bottom line. And the Browns offense did get Jarvis Landry involved. But Baker, you could see when he left the field, he didn't exchange a handshake with any of the Lions players as he went right to the locker room. And then very surprising that he did not meet with the media, and it was not because of any treatment, or they would have said it, so he declined to meet. Now, actually, that is an NFL obligation, so he'll actually get fined, I believe, for not showing up in the media room afterwards. Now, the Browns do go on to Baltimore Sunday. The Ravens leading the division at 7-3 as they rallied to beat the Bears 16-13. They did it without Lamar Jackson. He has an illness, but it's not COVID-related. In Cincinnati, very impressive yesterday. Blew out the Raiders 32-13. And last night, Steelers rallied to lead late, but lose in the end to San Diego, or to the LA Chargers, I should say, 41-37. So it's Baltimore 7-3, Cincy 6-4, Pittsburgh 5-4-1, the Browns 6-5. And the schedule sets up this way: at Baltimore Sunday night, a bye, and then home to Baltimore the following week. So the season, we're going to find out exactly what we're in store for in December these next 3 weeks. Cavaliers hoping to have Jared Allen and Lauri Markkanen back when they host the Nets tonight at 7, here at Right Here and Free on the iHeartRadio app. LeBron James ejected from the game in the Lakers' win over the Pistons last night. He scraped the face of Detroit's Isaiah Stewart in a box-out attempt. The bloodied Stewart charged after LeBron several times, was held back by coaches and teammates. It could have really been an ugly sight. It actually was, just to see it the way it went down. We'll see how the league handles it in terms of fines going forward. And again, Tiger Woods, check it out. Scooter's got it posted. He termed it making progress as we get a video of him hitting a golf ball yesterday. Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
Yeah. All right, let's get a little more on this case in Georgia, bringing our Rory O'Neill following it. Closing arguments scheduled soon in the trial that involves Aubrey. Set this up for me. Where are we at in this whole thing, Rory?
Right. So the testimony wrapped up last week, a little bit contentious when the judge and the lawyers were talking about the jury instructions that will be read to the panel today. The judge essentially tossing out a big part of the defense's claim that this was a citizen's arrest gone wrong. Just to reset things a bit, Ahmaud Arbery, 25, was out jogging when three white men, Travis McMichael, his dad Greg, and their neighbor Roddy Bryan, chased down Arbery in their pickup trucks, cornered him. Then there was a confrontation, and it was Travis McMichael who shot and killed Arbery. Travis took the stand in his own defense. The prosecution diced and sliced the guy. It was not good. So the defense has an uphill climb in their closing arguments today.
Yeah, I wondered why he took the stand. I mean, he had the right to not take the stand, but he did. But it did not look good for him.
No, and then the father and the neighbor did not take the stand and testify. And again, maybe that was better legal counsel, but it really is now a challenge for these three men who were claiming this was going to be a citizen's arrest. But that angle has largely been dismissed by the judge.
So we think closing arguments will probably take most of the day, then some instruction for the jury. They may not get this thing till tomorrow then, I guess.
They could get it this afternoon. Okay. We'll see, you know, just how quickly things go. There are still 9 felony charges here in this. Malice murder is the charge they have in Georgia. They don't do, like, first and second degree murder. They do malice murder. Also, 4 counts of felony murder. 4 counts. So each has to be deliberated because each crime that they led to the murder, like chasing him down was a crime that led to a murder, cornering him was a crime that led to a murder, assaulting was a crime. So things like that. That's why they get to have multiple counts, even though there's one victim.
All right, Rory O'Neill on it this morning. Rory, thanks much.
Thanks, Bill.
524, Clay and Buck today. We'll welcome in Dr. Scott Atlas, Senior Fellow of Health Policy, Stanford University Hoover Institute, former advisor on the pandemic to the president, and author of a new book called A Plague Upon Our House, My Fight to Stop COVID from Destroying America. Dr. Scott Atlas with Clay and Buck today. He'll be on with him right out of the 1 o'clock news on News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Good morning. Thanks for being there. Money Monday, a couple money tips coming up. I got Jordan Goodman at MoneyAnswers.com next. Doing a lot of traveling or planning on traveling? I mean, this is a big week, of course, with Thanksgiving. How to make a little money back on discounts from Jordan here.
Bill Wills. Something you can tell somebody today.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Traveling. More and more of us are. Jordan Goodman joins me at MoneyAnswers.com. So with traveling in mind, can you save us some money, Jordan?
A lot. Yeah, people are finally getting out there again, Bill, after having been locked down for a year and a half. The time's to kind of get out around the world here. So I actually got three resources that can help you in the travel section of MoneyAnswers.com. One of them is called Book VIP, and they have up to 83% off the regular fares for all kinds of trips, cruises, and hotels, all kinds of different things. Another one is Vacation Rentals. I mean, everybody goes to Airbnb. There's another place called FlipKey that has 860,000 rentals around the world.
Wow.
Where you can often get a really nice place at a much cheaper price than if you did a hotel. And then if you like to do adventure kinds of things, there's something called G Adventures, which does small group travel and adventures. Can be cruises, it can be whitewater rafting, jumping off of cliffs, whatever you want to be doing. But, you know, there's some really good, fun adventures out there. And all these things give you much cheaper prices because you're getting it kind of at a wholesale rate. So again, that's G Adventures for small group travel, FlipKey for vacation rentals, and Book VIP for all kinds of different travel. So this is a time to get out there, and it's getting crowded. The airports are getting filled these days, and I think people are going to start traveling a lot, and there are three ways to do it.
I think you're right. We want to get moving again. Jordan Goodman, the way to save us some money on some of those trips. Find out more on saving money and investing and all sorts of tips when you go to moneyanswers.com. Always good to return an email, too, if you got a question. You can reach Jordan through the website, moneyanswers.com. Follow him on Twitter, too, at Jordan Goodman. Joining Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Bill.
We're getting close.
I know. We got Thanksgiving first. Somebody on Twitter last night tweeted a picture of the tree. We put the tree up over the weekend because we're going to be gone for Thanksgiving. So I got back, you know, getting back from Thanksgiving. Thought we had the tree up since we had to put it up over the weekend. Anyway. Okay, tweeted back at me, I got to eat turkey first before I put the tree up. I get it. I understand. Today the Salvation Army Kettle Campaign is kicking off. I'll be on helping them out, and you can help, too. I'll be handling the kettle at the Discount Drug Mart location, Independence, today, 11 to 1. So just by chance, if you're in the area, in and out of Discount Drug Mart lunchtime, I'll be the one ringing the bell. Wherever you see a Salvation Army kettle, please drop something in the Salvation Army kettle. This year you can help the Salvation Army bring hope to hardworking families still struggling from this pandemic. Keep hope marching on this Christmas. There's a $20 donation challenge to it. Each red kettle, if you could help. Anything is helpful, don't get me wrong, but especially dropping a 20 in really helps. Online you can also donate SalvationArmyOhio.org. Independence Discount Drug Mart. I'll be ringing the bell from 11 to 12. Michael Bauer, this Bill Wills, Thanksgiving and travel and COVID and topics. I saw there's a poll at USA Today this morning. Once we finally get together around a table, 20% of us agree that COVID will cause an argument. 22% strongly agree. 25% somewhat agree. 22% somewhat disagree COVID will be an argument. And 10% don't know. I want to be down at the end of the table with the don't know bunch, Michael.
Yeah, I'll hang out with them and have a little chocolate pie with them. That sounds like the best place to be.
Without a doubt. Big week, though, for travel. And some of these numbers, are we getting back to pre-pandemic levels, you see?
Well, look, as far as travel goes, what you're seeing, according to the TSA, they're expecting to handle about 20 million air passengers this week. And technically, those numbers could go up this last week as last-minute people are trying to book themselves some flights or get themselves to go see friends and family, feeling safe about everything this year when it comes to COVID. And airline travel this Thanksgiving season should be right around those pre-pandemic levels. It's unclear whether they'll surpass it, but it's all coming as doctors are urging caution. As you pointed out, that kind of fight could be about the fact that numbers are on the rise for COVID cases here in this country. The holiday season's approaching. We know the cold weather's driving more people to meet indoors. Public health officials are trying to mitigate against another record-setting COVID this winter. Let's not forget, last Christmas is more than a Wham song covered by 80,000 people. It was last year's worst ever COVID spike, with cases peaking at more than 250,000 cases per day on January 11th. And deaths from the virus also hit a pandemic high of roughly 3,400 per day in early 2021. So that's what Christmas brought us last year. in regards to COVID. And right now we're seeing infections up 31% over the past 2 weeks. In October, we were fluttering around 70,000 to 75,000 per day. Now we're up over 95,000 COVID infections per day on a seven-day average across the country. And you're seeing some parts of the country kind of where we're at right now, Bill, that are becoming sort of the breeding ground. Medical authorities are still trying to get vaccination rates above 60% nationally. In the meantime, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, that area of the country is leading by a significant margin recent cases per capita. And the seven-day moving average for the U.S. was set at 93,000 on Friday. Back on October 25th, it had been 70,000. So we're seeing numbers on the climb. We're seeing a number of states have concerns here as far as the high level of COVID that they've got there at a time when everybody's getting together for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Michael Bauer on it this morning. Again, try to get towards the end of the table with the don't know bunch. I think you'll get along much better this week. All right. Michael, thanks much. Thank you. AM 1100. Best Browns coverage Monday on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Terry Pluto this morning. He'll join us tomorrow. Terry's column after the game. He wrote, during the game, I kept thinking, why didn't they start Case Keenum? I mean, Baker looked like he had trouble walking back.
He was
every time, right?
It's painful to really watch him out there. It looks like it's just hurting him to just move around at all.
13-10 win. Coach right after it.
Okay, good to get a win there. Good to close it out in that game. I know sloppy at times on all sides, but, good to come away with a victory. Defensively, holding them to 10 points, I thought they were particularly great after two turnovers that they stood up and did a great job. Held them to 77 yards passing, had a couple takeaways. Offensively, Nick did a great job there, especially late, 130 yards rushing. And then, anytime you rush for 186, it's Nick's a great player, but the offensive line, the tight ends, the fullback, the receivers, the quarterback, number one, getting us into all those runs, then booting away. I mean, it just takes all those guys. So I was really pleased with that.
Gavin Baker was really limping around in the fourth quarter from our vantage point. Was there any consideration to going with Case with his injury situation?
Yeah, he was cleared to go in there. I think you guys know he's toughing it out, and he's battling.
How much say does Baker have in that, or is that your call when that decision comes up?
Well, I think ultimately we organizationally try to make the best decision we can with all the information we have available to us with all of our guys, and certainly with each player, you talk to them as well and see where they are.
Kevin, that 3rd-and-3 on that drive, did you think about throwing the ball, or were you thinking Nick all the way?
Yeah, with all those decisions, Jeff, you talk about a lot of things. You talk about different plays, different run schemes, different pass schemes. That just felt like the right scheme based on how they were playing us on defense.
Kevin, is Jarvis's knee thing, is it new or is it just the same one?
I think it's probably the same one, but I don't know what we'll find out tomorrow, what that means.
What can you say about him going back in the game? It looked like he had a big lead block on one of Nick's runs there.
Yeah, and that's what with Jarvis, he's banged up. Then he wants to go back in there, wants to fight. Had just a great play for a touchdown early. Exactly how we drew it up. Just kidding. But made a great play.
I mean, you've talked so much about the penalties recently. To have 10 again today for the second time in 3 weeks, just the frustrations of that hasn't really come.
Yeah,
along.
Very, very frustrating. It's not good. It hurts you as a team. The pre-snap penalties where we're jumping off sides are unacceptable, and we have to get it cleaned up, and we will. But the players know it's just unacceptable, and on the offensive side of the ball as well. And I'll look at some of the other ones that were called. I didn't think, we'll see on the other ones, but we got to play clean football, and we did not at times today.
Coach, after the game, on Baker, Mike, when he misses high. He's just overthrowing guys.
And that's a sign, I think, that, he's not following through, right? Yeah. He just doesn't feel right. Oh, that first interception he threw, my gosh, it was not even in the same time zone. No.
And you know what? Throughout the game, they never really had a good offensive, a 75-yard drive. Until towards 5-6 minutes left, when they were giving the ball to Chubb, and we were trying to eat the clock up, that's when they were controlling.
Well, that was really the last 2.5, and they couldn't give it back. And everybody, this is one takeaway I really liked. Everybody knew they were going to run the ball with Nick Chubb, and they got it done. And that's a credit to the offensive line. Stefanski referred to it there. They had their penalties earlier, but when they needed to, Chubb was just a great back, and they gave him enough room, and the Lions couldn't stop it.
And Baltimore Sunday night, we'll talk about it with Josh Cribbs, his take on everything coming up at 7:50 this morning. Best Browns coverage, WTAM. Trending, Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Scooter Reese has booked Mr. Jingling, right?
Yes, 7:20, Mr. Jingling will be calling.
And I guess you can book Mr. Jingling, too, for your Christmas party.
Yes, you can.
Right? We'll find out more.
We're going to find out more.
He's got the keys.
On Hallie's 7th floor.
Did you go see him as a kid?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Did you take your boys, or was he already done by then?
Yeah, I got
to
see
him. We're going back.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the new and improved, the younger version.
All right,
Mr. Jingle.
He used to have a television show.
Seen him around town on Twitter too. Looks great. So we'll find out more at 7:20. Mr. Jingling will be with us.
Mr. Jingling, it all
I've
just
got
brings
an ornament,
back memories.
Actually, I've got a Mr. Jingling ornament.
Do you?
Yeah.
Did you get your tree up this weekend?
No, no.
You're doing a live tree, right?
That's the plan right now. I don't know. They keep telling me they're running out of them.
So it's in the news this morning. Yes. They say you, Mike Snyder, are going to pay between 10% and 30% more than you did last year. For your live tree.
I believe that. Heck, I'm paying 10 to 30% more for about everything I buy now than I did 3 weeks ago.
We put ours up Saturday night. Serena came over to help decorate, okay? It was a pre-lit tree when we bought it a few years ago.
Okay, I know how
and
that
last
goes.
Year it was less pre-lit.
Yes.
So you added a...
You add.
This year I get the whole thing set up, bring it down from the attic. You know, I'm that guy. I'm just... I love Christmas. Bringing the stuff down, I get it set up, plug it in, nothing.
Nothing.
Doesn't work.
I mean, there's not a light on the thing.
You're kidding.
Not a light on
the
thing.
You had a short.
So, I mean, I...
So what'd you do, go to Drug Mart and get all your lights again? And...
I went to past Home Depot and got a 500, it was the big roll, $34 for the roll.
There you go.
And then strung them up.
Oh, okay.
So we now have a pre-lit tree that's not pre-lit.
I understand.
With those bulbs. Yeah. And then you got the bulbs around them that are actually lit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's why we've been looking to go live this year. This old one we have, it pretty much does that, too. I've got more lights around it now than we're in it.
The new fake trees at Home Depot were like $65-70.
You should have went with that.
That's what I'm thinking.
We should have just bought a new tree.
Yeah, we got a nice tree. It's big. There's nothing wrong with it.
They would have loved it if you'd have come back with that. Oh, man.
Mindy likes the one we have, but I don't know.
Why not have two trees?
So I paid $40. No, I'm not doing two trees.
There's people that do that.
I know there are.
Oh, yeah.
It's very nice for them to do that.
Yes.
That's very nice.
I'm with you on that.
You got your tree up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you.
I did.
He's that guy. He's ripping on me, and he's not done anything yet.
What do you have, like a little... What did you have,
a
table tree?
You got a big one.
You got your Christmas cards out yet, too?
I don't send those. I never did. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Just call and say Merry Christmas.
Well, remember you used to do the calendar show, Bill?
We had the calendars for this year.
Those days are...
Bill Wills. Something you can tell somebody today.
Well, thanks to Terry Pluto, based on the first day of sales at Progressive Field Friday when the Guardians gear became available. Before the sign fell, of course. That was rough. That was not good. The Nike Script Guardians hooded fleece sweatshirt, best-selling item. The Fastball G outsold the Diamond C by a 2-to-1 margin.
Mm.
Could have been a lot of elves buying a few things.
There you go.
To put under the tree this year when it comes to Guardians merchandise. And Mike Snyder, a shout-out to the team still in it. Wow, with some games over the weekend, St. Ed's all over Medina.
Yeah, they won big, and Avon and Akron Hoban.
Akron, Chardon.
Chardon doing great.
And West Holmes and Kirtland as well. So, good stuff. Great seasons for all those
Teams. Boy, those are long seasons for high school, isn't it?
That's the truth.
If you win this week, you got to play another one.
You got to keep playing. And some of those kids play basketball, you know, so it's all over the place.
Wow.
Those are good problems to have, though.
Well, yeah, you want to be playing, but boy, it is a long season.
And now, 5 good minutes.
Mike Snyder, let's catch up with our buddy Mark Munchbishop on a Monday morning. Heard Munch on Saturday after that Buckeye. That was a rout, wasn't it? You think? Was the contract waiting on Mel Tucker after that? Because the big talk going in was, what, a $95 million deal or something?
They were just outmanned. Game started at 12:10. It was over at 12:30.
Wow.
You know, it's interesting, too, guys, that Ryan Day actually pulled the dogs back. He could have had another 3-4 touchdowns if he wanted. Everything just, you know, that's what you call everything worked. Yeah. Everything was clicking. But I'm glad you said they were outmanned, too, because it shows the talent on the Ohio State Buckeyes. And let's just hope it manifests itself this Saturday in the Big House in Ann Arbor.
I flipped over and caught some of Bama and Arkansas. I tell you what, the first time I'd watched Arkansas. I mean, I think they're 21st or whatever. And it was at Bama. And Bama was a little shaky for a while. They still won it because they're Bama. Don't get me wrong.
It's not a Nick Saban defense we're used to seeing
there. No, not at all.
But so Bill, we'll just see. Remember this. Yeah. Would you rather hear the OHIO or Woo Pig Suey? That's the question of the day.
How do I get my BEARCATS in? That's what I'm wondering. Huh? Is there any path right now, guys? I feel like Tim Russert in Florida in the middle of the night here. What are we looking at?
I think they got a shot.
They got a shot.
Well, they got a shot yet.
Huh?
They got a shot.
Right. Yeah. You think so, Munch?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt they do.
All right.
Look, we'll at everybody see. Got quiet on that one.
Right, we'll see. I don't know. All right, we'll see. All right, this is a tradition that dates back many years. You have been a big, big driver of helping out the Ministry to the Poor at St. Augustine, West 14. This church has been around since 1860 and had a mission to help immigrants. And about 50 years ago, the Hunger Center started. And I hate to date you, but it seems like you've been doing this almost 50 years, Munch.
1990, so this will be the 31st, of course. We were off a year ago for COVID. So not quite the 50. You know, when I'm turning 50 in January, that makes it a little bit tougher.
Right. Yeah. You've been doing your own life much. Yeah. Exactly.
But, 2486 West 14th, right across from Lincoln Park, right on the corner of West 14th and Father Joe and Sister Carita Corner. And we'll be there 6 a.m. I'll be there ready to and willing to get any donations that you may have, 6 to 3. And Bill, we'll take checks, we'll take cash, we'll take turkeys, we'll take potatoes, canned foods, box foods, pastries, bakery, produce. And I know that you worry about me. I know Snipes does, okay? So I've been given permission by the doc that I am allowed to take 20-pound turkeys one at a time out of people's trunks or out of their hatches. But I got to put them right on that little rolling cart, okay, and then push them into the Hunger Center. So, yes, I will be out there, not just, like a statue, standing around, like, waving to everybody.
And this will be Wednesday, right?
Wednesday, sir, from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I talked to Father Joe. He's, quote-unquote, retired. Sister Karina's retired. She told me she's only doing things 10, 12 hours a day now.
Yes.
It was so cute. She grabbed me the other day, and she goes, "Do you think Jesus is upset with me?" I said, "Sister, you do not pass go. You're going to go right to heaven, okay? You've cut back." But, again, more than ever, because of the cutbacks, because of the prices on things, that they need help. And guys, it's so neat. I have people stopping me, coming out of the station. Today, somebody handed me a check on Saturday. And when you come out of the station, there's somebody waiting for you. You're not quite sure what to think, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, much. And things really have dramatically changed, even in the last few months. So, again, 6 a.m. till 3 p.m. Tell us exactly where, and just kind of, you don't have to get out of your car, right?
No, sir. It's, it's like a drive-thru.
Okay.
You pop the trunk, you pop your hatch, you pop your lock on your door, we'll pull it out. 2486 West 14th, Tremont, right across from Lincoln Park. And if you come in via 176, it's perfect because you can just get off on 14th. You can go right back and get on the highway to get wherever you're going. But we will take, once again, checks, cash, frozen turkeys, potatoes, breads, canned goods, box goods. I've got so much help coming out. John Marshall High School is coming out. Benedictine's coming out. Trinity, the Lady Trojans are coming out. Gentlemen, behave yourselves if you stop by, because the FBI agents will be there. Since I'm a recent graduate of the Citizens Academy, they'll be peeling potatoes, I want you to know. I've already got them to volunteer. So we'll be there full force. And turkey carving at noon. We'll see if Art Elk from the Great Elk and Elk could defend his title of carving the fastest turkey.
St. Augustine Ministry to the Poor, and with your help, again, meeting the need on Wednesday, as Munch will be set up helping them as you help them. Drop some things off throughout the day on Wednesday. Mark Munch, Bishop. Pal, thanks much.
Thanks, Munch.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Trending this morning, Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Warm you up a little golf. Scooter East, producer extraordinaire, putting up some video of Tiger Woods looking good.
Huh? Looking good. Nice swing. Like I said, he's got that compression sock on. And, Bill, if he keeps this going and he keeps, training and rehabbing and stuff, who's to say next year you couldn't see him in a tournament or something?
That crash about a year ago when a lot of people were just amazed he was able to walk away.
Right. I mean, his leg was just smashed.
Yeah. Well, when you see the compression sock and you look at his leg a little bit, yeah, you can tell he had damage, man. He had some damage. But still, watching him swing like that with his legs and his body, I mean, that was pretty good.
There's a PNC father-son thing. Always fun to watch with the pros. Even Jack Nicklaus will bring his grandson, and they play the thing around Orlando next week or two. And I there's some talk. Tiger and his son Charlie played in the past. Charlie could kill, just kill the ball. That if Tiger's up to it, maybe they'll play in that.
Maybe he'll play a hole. You never know. He just might even not play the whole thing.
A little bit of Tiger, Wills and Center Facebook, WillsandCenter.com. All right, yep. Scoot's got that post. And you booked Mr. Jingling.
He's coming up here in about five minutes.
Keep the keys.
Yeah, and you could book him too, I guess.
You could book Mr. Jingling.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, ask Mr. Jingling how that works.
Wow, he's
see
back.
What he's been up to. Mr. Jingling. I've seen him around town. I've seen him on Twitter at times.
Maybe so he'll Mr. stop Jingling. By while you're doing the kettlebell.
Over at Discount Drug Mart today, Independence, 11 to 1.
Maybe he'll come by.
Maybe Mr. Jingling will show up.
Right.
I got a bell. He'll have a bell.
Yes.
Don't commit it. He's busy. It's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Thank you for being there, and it is time to bring back some memories. Depending on your age, your parents took you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or you heard about your parents taking you, because you can't remember. There are some pictures. Yeah. It was a great tradition in this town for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Scott Scooter, East Producer Extraordinaire. And I, you know, we are honored over the years to talk to many guests. We've had presidents call the show, yes. Sports athletes. And I always laugh when I look over and Scooter puts them on hold. And he finally can check off his list, Mr. Jingling.
Oh, I love
because
it.
He put Mr. Jingling on hold.
Right, never thought that would happen.
And we're joined by Mr. Jingling now, I believe. Mr. Jingling, good morning.
Good morning, Bill and Mike, and all of Cleveland. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Where you been?
Well, I've been around a little bit, but I'm back now and so happy to be out and about in Cleveland.
I have seen you out and about, show up in a few places, and I've seen you on Twitter as well. You're looking good, Mr. Jingling.
Well, thank you. Don't you like my new look with my new suit?
Yes, Mr. Jingling. So you're back, and now I guess there's no longer Hallie's seventh floor. Can we go see you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, this coming Saturday and the following Saturday, the 4th, I will be at my old stomping grounds near the in the Hallie's building from noon to 6. I'll be all around Cleveland in Winterfest and all around. You can find my schedule at MrJingling.com. But I will be all around greeting people, and not just the taller children, but the newer generation as well.
Well, that's
I do love the faces of the older children as they remember.
Absolutely. Well, I remember you well, Mr. Jingling, from years gone by. Glad you are back. And you've got keys, too, now, so they can go see you this Saturday at the Winterfest. You'll be over by the Hallie building. That's exciting to see. And for more information about your whereabouts, how do we go about doing that, Mr. Jingling?
You can find my schedule at MrJingling.com. And if you'd like to invite me to a party or your home or your office, you can also do that through MrJingling.com.
That's how we scheduled this visit this morning.
Very nice.
Yeah, if you've got like an office party, you want to really pick up your team with this pandemic and so many things.
You'll be the hit of the party.
You get Mr. Jingling to come by.
Bring in Mr. Jingling. Oh my gosh.
Well, I think it was in the days gone by that Mr. Jingling's show would start right after Thanksgiving and get us ready for Christmas. So we have a chance now to meet you personally, Mr. Jingling.
Yes, yes. Well, I was at the IX Christmas Connection over the weekend, and there were many, many faces that I remember from Hallie's and Higby's and in the past. It was such a great time.
I was going to say, Scooter, right away, it was like, do you remember me? Remember me? I mean, every kid that's now an adult will walk up to you, remember me? I asked for that bike, and I got it. Thank you, Mr. Jingling, right?
Yes, and if you have your magic key, the magic never fades. If you sleep with that under your pillow and dream of all the things you'd like for Christmas, some of it just might come true.
Mr. Jingling, always coming through.
Mr. Jingling, you know, it's Christmas doesn't begin, and my mom used to tell me, you got to go see Mr. Jingling first, and then that's how Christmas begins.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Wonderful,
now,
wonderful.
Do you remember my jingle, the Jingling jingle? Should we sing it together?
Let's sing it.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Mr. Jingling,
how you jingling, keeper of the keys. On that least seventh floor, we'll be looking for
you to turn the key.
There you go. All right, one more time. The website for people, Mr. Jingling.
MrJingling.com.
All the best. Thanks. It's great to have you on. We appreciate your time.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Jingling.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Jingling.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to all of you.
Tomorrow.
Browns coverage Monday. Josh Cribbs, his take, brought to you by Dollar Bank. Visit dollar.bank or call 800-242-BANK. Equal housing lender.
Okay, good to get a win there. Good to close it out in that game. I know sloppy at times on all sides, but you know, good to come away with a victory. Defensively, holding them to 10 points, I thought they were particularly great after two turnovers. That they stood up and did a great job, held them to 77 yards passing, had a couple takeaways. Offensively, you know, Nick was did a great job there, especially late, 130 yards rushing. And then, you know, anytime you rush for 186, it's you know, Nick's a great, great player, but the offensive line, the tight ends, the fullback, the receivers, the quarterback, number one, getting us into all those runs, then booting away. I mean, it just takes all those guys. So I was really pleased with that.
Well, that's what Coach said. Let's bring in Josh Cribbs on what we saw. And for some reason, Josh, I just don't feel like a win. I know it's the NFL. I know all that. But my quarterback walked off at the end. That wasn't a good look, you know?
Well, I think because also it came to against a winless Detroit Lions team who are not as athletic or close to athletic as the Cleveland Browns are. Yes, they have a dynamic running back in Swift, which it showed yesterday. But, however, we come out of that game not having the true momentum to tackle the rest of our year. And, you know, to piggyback off of what Coach said, it is tough to win in the NFL. The Lions gave everything they had. They're a team that plays with nothing to lose because they don't have anything to lose, but they're scrappy. They did want to win. They tried to upset the Browns. However, you would have hoped that we could have garnered a little bit more of offensive just scoring. I mean, it wasn't good enough. Baker, it wasn't good enough. The question still is out there, you know, about him being a franchise quarterback leading us into the future. It just wasn't enough, you know, and I'm rooting for him, but week in and week out, you know, I have to defend the undefensible.
You know, I hear you, Josh, and if you're out there, we see you're banged up. We're wondering even why you're out there. And I think, really, his unwillingness to speak to the media afterwards, no one said he was in treatment or anything like that, and it was, I guess, his call. That is an obligation. I mean, you were in that locker room as a player, no matter what position. And I know you were one of those guys, after some tough games, you stood there and fielded the questions. The quarterback, that's always the case. And Josh, they won the game. You know, and that's that action really, I think, says a lot right now.
It does, but you know, Baker's not one to shy away from responsibility and accountability week in and week out. He has told the media as well as Coach Stefanski. You know, and the players come in and echo what the coaches talk about when they have their, you know, their end of game breakdown. You know, last week, Myles Garrett said that the players had to play better and the coach had to coach better. Well, normally players don't use the term coaches have to coach better. That's just reserved for coaches. So you can tell either he really felt like that or the coaches had just echoed that. So, you know, a lot of times that if you listen to those post-game press conferences, the coaches, you know, the players, they take responsibility. Coaches have done a good job taking responsibility. Baker as well. It's just, we know he's good at taking responsibility and playing when he's banged up. But look, I'm rooting for him to come back and do a good job in conference and division play. But at some point, it has to click, you know, whether he's needs to throw more or I just don't know what it is, missing wide open receivers, because it could be different next game. I know a few weeks ago, he was hitting the receivers, but they were dropping the ball. So it's either him or them, you know, and they can't find their rhythm, their momentum, because you wanted to put off more of a show against a winless Detroit team, and it's just, I know they won. I don't want to take anything away from them, but we're here to criticize and to uplift, and we have to start with criticizing them first.
Well, and I think you're absolutely right. We all know it's got to be a whole lot better going forward. In fact, the Lions coach, I think, left them off the hook when he settled for the field goal. I don't want to digress there, but there really is, as you kind of touch on it, Josh, there really is no passing game now. There's nothing, there's not even a bread and butter to what they want to do right now that I see.
It's not, and it's true Kevin Stefanski, and when I say that, I mean, you know, he came from a Minnesota team where they had a great, awesome running back in Dalvin Cook, and you know, and Keenum and Cousins, and this is that type of offense where they throw it down the field sparingly, and they use it, the fullback and the tight end in this offense. They just, their identity now is run. It's run coupled with the diversity of how you use the tight ends throwing the ball downfield. So if that's our identity, let's expand on that. We have to expand so that when we play against teams that coach very well, like on the level of Belichick, we won't be stumped. And we have a few of those teams in our division, so we have to be prepared for it.
Takeaway on Baker just walking off. He didn't look happy, looked mad, just didn't, you know, even wave to the fans. He was hearing some boos yesterday, Josh. As a former player, what'd you think of that?
I think, you know, we can understand. I can understand, but in the interim of things, the fans are there to see you play. They only care about the win. You can play as terrible as you want, but they only care about that win. We got the W. Yes, we want him to play better. And yes, we know he's not playing well, but, you know, still wave to the fans and give us the inkling, like, look, I'm going back to go to work. I'm going to work hard this weekend for you guys. I know I need to play better. And he could say that to fans. He could say that. You know, and this would make him, you know, such a staple for this team. Say it, go do it, and then show it on Sunday. Don't shy away. We understand, be a professional. And he's continued to learn that. Like I said, he takes accountability in the press conferences. But, you know, after the game, the fans, hey, don't shy away from us. We know the type of game you played out there. We could see it. Just let us know you're going to go to work and handle business come Sunday.
Best Browns coverage, Josh Cribbs. Great take as always. Thanks, pal.
Thank you.
He did not speak to the media afterwards, which I
and that's speaking to the fans.
He'll get a fan. See, he'll get a fine for that.
Gets, well, yeah. But that gets lost in that. When he's speaking to the media, he's speaking to the fans. And that's what Josh was saying.
Not a good look.
And yeah, he stormed off. He's mad at the world, whatever. But again, you won the game. And like Josh said, okay. And he's done that. He's been a guy throughout his career, Bill, that doesn't shy away from talking to the press.
Right.
So to see him do that yesterday after a win is another thing.
Get up there but, and give some love to the running game and Chubb and everything else.
You won the game. Yeah. And now, though, you go to Baltimore, and it's on the line now as you get the Ravens twice now with a bye in between coming.
8 p.m., 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, and complete Cavaliers coverage. Tim Alcorn in, and the morning Cavs update on WTAM 1100. And they've got the game tonight, of course, with the Nets. Cavs update brought to you by Huntington. Earlier access to your pay or extra cash on standby. This is how Huntington reinvents banking. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, before we get to the Cavs, a little love for high school football, guys. Any team that was in it over the weekend, what a season. I know St. Ed's beat Medina. Tim, you called that Avon game. That thing went to overtime, right?
Oh, what an unbelievable game. Yeah, Avon Toledo Central Catholic. I've called hundreds of games over the years, guys. That ranks up there as one of the greatest. Avon goes for two in overtime just to say we're either going to win it or lose it right here. And they run a little reverse play. Unbelievable game. Great game.
Well, that's great. Yeah, there was some great action in Avon and Hoban going. Actually, Avon meets Hoban next, right, Tim?
Yeah, over at Byers Field. That seems to be an annual event in a state semifinal for Avon. This is their fifth straight Final Four appearance. Mm.
And St. Ed, Chardon, and Kirtland all moving on. So some great games still to come, but that was an incredible game. Well, the Cavs have had a little break, Tim. Sounds like, well, first off, let's get the bad news away. Boy, that was just tough to hear that Colin Sexton's done for the year, Tim.
Yeah, I got that news Friday night during the midst of that Avon game, and that really is tough news to hear. Colin Sexton is one of the hardest workers on the Cavaliers team, and of course, a scorer for them, and really a great guy. So you wish him nothing but the best, and certainly, hopefully, at the start of next season, he'll be raring to go.
Yeah, I know how hard he's worked, and finally now things are going in the right direction, and he can't be part of it, so we do wish him well. Now, the 3-day break sounds like we're going to see a couple of big guys back that we haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, we're going to get Jared Allen back tonight, and word is Lauri Markkanen will be back in the lineup tonight. So all of a sudden, that depleted front line becomes much more fortified. And when you're going up against a team like Brooklyn tonight and Phoenix on Wednesday, you need all the weapons you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they've hung in there. Rubio has been playing great. What an addition he's been. Although, Tim, I worry, man, he's played a lot of minutes early, hasn't he?
He has, and again, that's partially due to the injury situation they've had in the backcourt, Mike. But if you notice, JB tries to get him out there for quick little bursts, and then we'll rest him for a short while, then get him back out there. As Jim Jones has mentioned during the course of the broadcast, I think they want to keep Ricky somewhere around 25, maybe 30 max. He's been going above that, so I'm sure this three-day break has really helped him.
And at least tonight, if it sounds like from what you say, if Lauri can return, we can get back to that big lineup. You know, I think it's a lineup that you wondered, you saw some teams didn't know how to handle it early in the year, and as you move forward, you'd like to see, okay, how does it fare against the likes of a Brooklyn team or a Phoenix team, which they have upcoming, Tim.
Absolutely. Now, we won't have Mobley, of course, but we'll have two-thirds of that big front line back. It'll be interesting to see how JB works the starting lineup tonight now with Markkanen back. But you're right, that size has created some big problems, pardon the pun, for the other team. So we'll see how it shakes out tonight. But, man, it's going to be good to see those two back out on the floor.
Kyrie Irving tweeting out some artwork last night. Now, he, even though this game is not at Barclays, he's still not playing, right?
No, they've told him that he wouldn't be part of it.
He's not a part of it. Right. Yeah, he's tweeting out some artwork.
Yeah, you can't have a guy play one game here and there. So I don't know if anybody does have an answer to that. But quickly, Tim, on Mobley, he's showing some early signs of maybe he won't be out all that long.
Right. The initial prognosis, guys, was 2 to 4 weeks. 2 weeks will be this Saturday. I'm not saying he's going to be out 2 weeks. That's up to the staff. But we saw him in Brooklyn, ironically, taking some shots during pregame. Now, they were all with, you know, of course, the opposite hand. But, yeah, he's been around the team. And so hopefully, as a young guy in great shape and the injury wasn't that serious, it'll be more on the two-week side than the four-week side.
Cavs-Nets tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off. On your way to the game, have us on WTAM 1100. All the pregame activity and tip-off at 7 o'clock with Tim Alcorn on the call. Complete Cavaliers coverage, Jim Jones this time tomorrow morning. Jim, thanks much.
All righty, guys. Bill, I know you're off Thursday, so happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, pal. You too.
Bill Wills, something you can tell somebody today.
Well, Mike Snyder and Scooter Reese, Terry Pluto asked the question, got the answer based on the first day of sales at Progressive Field with the Guardians gear. How about the sign falling? Like an hour in.
Yeah, that.
Not a good sign.
No, that really
was. It just like fell off. Thankfully, nobody was hurt.
Exactly.
Out in front of the place.
Oh, my.
The Nike Script Guardians Hooded Fleece Sweatshirt, which looks strong, is the best-selling item. The Fastball G, they say, outsold the Diamond C by a 2-to-1 margin. Like the ball that's coming out. You know, the great pitching traditions of this franchise.
Right.
Good stuff for the Guardians gear.
I'm waiting for my Guardians spring training hat.
Are you?
Yeah, that's the one I'm waiting for. Yeah. Actually, I'm thinking maybe I'll just travel with you this year. You know what, I might do that.
You know what you ought to do?
I could go with you.
You know what you ought to do?
What?
Find this guy. Ask him.
Mr. Jingling, I go to spring training with Bill this year?
We had Mr. Jingling on earlier. He's out and about again. Yeah.
And he'll say, well, why do you want to go? Well, all I want to do is just carry his clubs on the golf course.
He was out at the Christmas Connection at the IX. He's out again this week. And you can actually, I tell you what, Mr. Jingling's got some availability.
Yeah.
Your office party team, you're getting them together. Oh. You're trying to get people pumped up and trying to get them back in the office. Have Mr. Jingling show up. You can schedule him, right?
Yes, and you could go to the Wills and Snyder page at WTAM.com and also the Wills and Snyder Facebook page and the WTAM Facebook page. You check it out. Mr. Jingling, click on the interview. Listen to the interview, and I got the link to his website where you
can
pick him and have him come to your party.
It was fun.
Great having him on the show. Great.
Good stuff. All right, sports is Mike Snyder.
Browns 6-5. Yeah, they did win yesterday 13-10, but it was rough to watch most of it. Baker Mayfield, you can just see him hurting out there. And his teammates, like Nick Chubb, who really saved the day with 130 yards rushing and scored one touchdown and really ran out the clock at the end behind the line, led with Joel Bitonio up front. Well, Chubb and Joel Bitonio both talked about Baker being out there?
It does a lot. It motivates us. We're all playing for each other to see him battling. And, you know, he's banged up pretty bad. He's out there at practice and during the game. And it gets us going. We want to win for each other.
And that's Nick Chubb. Here's Joel Bitonio.
The guy's really tough. The guy plays hard. He wants to win badly. And, you know, he's our leader. And so we follow that, and we got to keep protecting him and keep keeping him upright so we can have him down the stretch.
Well, we know that, but how rough was it? Consider this. The last four possessions, Baker 1 of 7 passing for -1 yard. That's just not going to cut it. Now they go to Baltimore. We did not hear from Baker afterwards, as he appeared to be angry as he left the field. Didn't shake hands with the Lions, just kind of stormed off to the locker room and did not speak to the media afterwards. So we don't know exactly where he is, although I guess we can tell by all of that that he's not in a happy place. But you did win, Baker, and now they go to Baltimore as a 4.5-point underdog Sunday night. Ravens now 7-3 after edging the Bears 16-13. They won without their starting quarterback Lamar Jackson, who has this, some kind of a virus, not COVID related, that kept him out. If you missed it late last night, the Steelers lost to the Chargers 41-37. Ohio State zoomed up to number 2 in the country. Buckeyes get set for Saturday's showdown at Michigan. They are 7.5-point favorites, even though they're on the road. And the Cavs back in action tonight against the Nets at 7. Hear it right here and free on the iHeart Radio app. Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
Now, 5 good minutes.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Political analyst Steve Roberts joined us. Let's talk about Build Back Better. Speaker Pelosi, although McCarthy tried to hold him off, he couldn't. She was kind of taking a victory lap on Friday. I'm like, well, wait a minute. This thing's got to get back over to the Senate, and it'll be like a Christmas gift returned, I think, Steve.
Yeah, you know, Bill, the Democrats have so badly handled so many things this year, and this is just one of them. They have very tiny margins. That means everybody is a kingmaker. Everybody can exert leverage. And as we've discussed many times over the years, Democrats are a much broader coalition than Republicans. Look at this. You've got socialists. Bernie Sanders is chairman of the Budget Committee. He's an avowed socialist. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the House, she's a socialist. And then you get Joe Manchin, who represents a state that voted 39% for Donald Trump. So you can just immediately see how difficult it is, with no margin for error, to put together a package. Now, the Democrats did pass an important benchmark by getting that bill through the House last week, but it does face a lot of problems in the Senate. I do think in the end they will get a bill for two reasons, two words. The first is majority. Every Democrat has a vested interest in keeping the majority, no matter how much they disagree with their colleagues. They know that, you know, Joe Manchin knows and Bernie Sanders knows. Both of them are committee chairmen. They lose that majority, they're backbenchers again. And the other word is Trump. The more Trump, I believe, talks about running again, the more he's creating this new social media platform, the more Republicans fall in line with Trumpism around the country. Nothing will galvanize Democrats more, nothing will frighten Democrats more, nothing will unify Democrats more than the prospect of another Trump candidacy. So they still have a lot of ways to go, Bill, but I believe they'll get a bill just out of a sense of sheer fear of Donald Trump.
The signing last week was for the big infrastructure spending. This, though, is a lot of the social stuff. So you're right, I think they need to pass something. There has to be one of these programs has to get through. Something that President Biden can look at and say, see, I told you I could work. We could get this done. The other five we couldn't, but I got this done for you.
Exactly, Bill. And that's the message. And you'll be hearing, you know, in a key state like Ohio, it's always a magnet for, you'll be hearing from cabinet officers. You'll be hearing from allies of the president, union workers. One of the key provisions in this bill will bolster the union-made electric cars. And as everybody in Ohio knows, that Ohio is a huge auto-making state, too. It's not just Detroit, because a whole lot of the parts that are assembled in Michigan are made in Ohio. And so it does matter to a lot of workers that there'll be incentives in there to entice buyers to buy union-made cars.
Yep.
And I think the single biggest fight, Bill, will be over a provision. It gets a little complicated, but historically, taxpayers in high-tax states like New Jersey have been able to, so they pay high local taxes, but then they could deduct them from their federal taxes. Their ability to deduct that those taxes and therefore reduce their federal tax bill was severely limited by the Trump bill a few years ago. So the Democrats in that state want to restore the ability to deduct those state and local taxes and therefore reduce their federal bills. Problem is that that provision in the new bill would cost $275 billion. That's a B bill. $275 billion. It's the second biggest provision in the entire bill. So it has a very awkward effect on the accounting because it makes it much harder to say, oh, we're paying for everything when we're deducting $275 billion in taxes. But also, politically, it doesn't work because a lot of the folks who would benefit from this are fairly wealthy. And it just really undercuts the Democratic argument is that this bill is for struggling American working families. So that's the provision that's going to cause the most heartburn and the most controversy over the next couple of weeks.
Good take on some news out of Washington. Political analyst Steve Roberts. And I will also note Washington 27, Carolina 21 on Sunday.
Thank you, my friend. that young quarterback of ours, no interceptions. He's learning on the fly, but I hope Baker is feeling better.
Now it's an interesting year in the National Football League. Now, political analyst Steve Roberts, we don't get to talk before. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, my friend.
Absolutely, you too. It's been such a great friendship over many years, Bill. Take care.
Thank you, my friend, Steve Roberts. All right, today I'll be at the Salvation Army ringing the bell for the kettle at the Discount Drug Mart location, Independence, 11-1, one of the many kettles that are around. Please, as you walk by a kettle, you hear that bell, please help the Salvation Army, help people in need this year. Doing the